Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Yo! Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily, right here on the, you guessed it, Wrestling Daily YouTube channel. We thank you for your custom once more. It is the Daily Boys in the house. Thank you for joining us on this great Wednesday. SB3, how are you, my ever so slightly tanned brother?
I am doing well. It is Wednesday, and you know what that means. SP3 back with Alex McCarthy, the greatest tag team on YouTube today. Irish Whip and Harlem Shake are here to give you the latest wrestling news. We're going to be talking about the Full Gear main event. And yes, it's the one you've been thinking of, the one you've been wanting, the one you wanted at All Out. But they fooled you and they gave you something there instead. And now you get it at Full Gear. We're also going to be talking about the dream match that's going to happen on Friday. Not even on TNT, not even on free TV, on free YouTube. We're going to get a dream match up against SmackDown. SmackDown versus Rampage. You talked to Chris Jericho today. There is so much going on a Wednesday.
And unlike the Dudley Boys, the Daily Boys do still do business together. You best believe it. No qualms in this house. So, once again, thank you so much for joining us. And remember, in this sprint of a Wrestling Daily show, you can have your say with the Ultra Chat. That's always the way. Hot takes, news, whatever you like. WrestleTalk.com/Wrestling Daily. Get it in. And the Mod Mother herself, she'll deliver the goods. It's not the postman. She will deliver the goods every damn time. Hey, let's get into that top news, shall we? Because I do believe it was Tony Khan who was doing the interview today. As SB3 correctly said, I did speak to Chris Jericho and I have some stuff to bring on that. But it can wait. Let's talk titular news. SB3, tell the people what is going on with Tony Khan and the next pay-per-view main event.
Well, Tony Khan has been busy on the press junket, the public appearances, public interviews. He spoke to former Wrestling Daily co-host on a Friday of Barstool Sports, Robbie Fox, recently on his YouTube channel. Great interview there. He also talked to Barstool Sports Wrestling podcast. And there he basically addressed the lineup for Full Gear. He says not all the matches have been finalized. He says they're going to be the huge eliminator tournament coming up with the finals taking place at Full Gear. And he talked about how it was a full circle thing. thing with the Eliminator Tournament Finals happening last year at Full Gear 2020, kicked off the show with a tremendous bout between Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. And now those guys are going to be closing this year's Full Gear 2021, as he did confirm that Hangman Page will cash in his poker chip, will cash in his opportunity that he won on the AEW Dynamite second anniversary show in his return, winning the casino ladder match. He's going to cash in that opportunity against Kenny Omega for the AEW World Championship at Full Gear 2021. And it's going to be the culmination of a two-year journey, a two-year story, nearly 3 years, because it all started at the very first pep rally for AEW, where Hangman Page spoke about signing with the company and said that he wanted to become the AEW champion. Of course, he had the opportunity at All Out 2019 against Chris Jericho, and he failed there. From there, he went on a whole journey, a crisis of confidence, started drinking. He turned away from the Elite. He didn't feel worthy of being in the Elite. Then the Elite kicked him to the curb after he cost the Young Bucks the AEW tag team title opportunity. And now the Elite are the biggest villains, the biggest heels in AEW, while Hangman Page is the biggest babyface. And he gets to verse the man that he was tag team champions with for over 8 months in 2020. Kenny Omega in the main event. It's probably one of the best buildups to a world title match that I've seen in the past two decades.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. A few things here. You missed out him coming up short against MJF in the ring finals. He also came up short in the number one contenders tournament that eventually led to Kenny Omega actually winning the title. Yeah. Who did he lose to? Kenny Omega. So, like, there are very important lines in this story. It's fantastically built. Everybody is ready to see Paige and Omega tear it down and presumably crown Paige the new guy. Let me ask you this, SP3, in that note, before I go and herd my children back into their room. What about Daniel Bryan? What about him? He doesn't exist. What about Bryan Danielson? He, of course, is battling the Elite right now, presumably fighting his way through them and Suzuki now, to get his way back to Kenny. There's no way that's done. They've left it there. The door open. Could be a feud without the title. Who knows? Or, said Alex McCarthy in the third person, will it be another WrestleMania 37 equation where Daniel Bryan invades Hangman Page's opportunity?
I don't think we're going to get another WrestleMania 30, WrestleMania 37, where Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, needs to be in the World Championship matchup, because this is not something like Edge and Roman Reigns, where they thought, you know, the fans' investment in the Edge return story would elevate that matchup with Roman Reigns and people would want to see it. People were definitely captivated by, you know, the Daniel Bryan Roman Reigns matches, and I feel that momentum, you know, inserted Daniel Bryan into the main event of WrestleMania 37. We all know the story with WrestleMania 30. Nobody wanted to see Batista versus Randy Orton. So they needed and begged and plead that they needed Daniel Bryan in that main event. So I don't think it's that type of situation. But, Alex, what I do think is going to happen, we're going to see the world title eliminator brackets on Saturday Night Dynamite. We saw the ending of All Out. I think that the perfect story is just there for the waiting. The finals of the Eliminator Tournament at Full Gear to go along with Hangman versus Kenny in the main event. You have Bryan Danielson versus Adam Cole in the finals of the Eliminator Tournament, because it's two guys that have ready-made stories with either or, basically. Like Adam Cole, he could be trying to usurp Kenny Omega in the leadership of the Elite. Of course, Bryan Danielson has that open-ended feud with Kenny Omega following their 30-minute time limit draw at Grand Slam. Cole and Page have their own separate history. These are two men that was inserted into the Bullet Club at exactly the same time, just one day apart from each other, back in 2015, 2016. You got Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page. These are like two of the most over baby faces in wrestling, and what a different type of matchup that will be for you know, AEW, because they really haven't had that too big of baby faces going at it. That's kind of a AEW take on the old school, you know, Hogan and Warrior type of development, where the fans are going to have to kind of be split down the middle of who they want to see win there. So there's different stories that they can go there, but I feel like that's the best 1-2 punch of two major matchups to have at Full Gear. As someone who's thinking about taking the trip over to Minneapolis, I would love to see both of those matches on the night, as well as, you know, matches they've already teased, like Lucha Bros versus Santana and Ortiz.
Yeah,
we don't know what Sammy Guevara is going to do with the TNT Championship. You got maybe Darby Allin versus MJF. This Full Gear card, you know, for a pay-per-view that in a lot of fans' mind, this is the fourth pay-per-view. This is like the Survivor Series, and ironically, they're both in November. This is the Survivor Series of the Big Four for AEW. They could really amp this up and make this the best card. And when you look at last year, in my eyes, I feel like last year, if it wasn't for Revolution, the best pay-per-view of the year, or one of the best pay-per-views of the year, was Full Gear 2020 with Paige and Omega in the opener. You had the classic between FTR.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Are in the Young Bucks. Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley had a tremendous build-up to their matchup in the main event. So there was a lot of things that intrigued me going into Full Gear 2020, and I felt like that was their best pay-per-view of the pandemic era.
Yeah, it was Revolution, though. But
No doubt. It's solely that it's two different. That's why I had to, you know,
exactly different
say
eras.
It's two different things because Revolution had that hot crowd in Chicago, but I feel like Full Gear was their best pay per view of the pandemic under the restrictions that they had. That was one of their best shows, and that was probably their second best behind Revolution.
No doubt. And I think a lot of people think that Double or Nothing is probably like the Mania equivalent, just because it's the first, like, and it's, you know, the connotations that come around with it. But
yeah,
I like the way that AEW, I don't think I could really choose that. All four of them feel important, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel that's good about their business model. They don't overload with pay-per-views. And when you get there, all of these matches, they seem well thought out and crafted. I like it. And I've said from the jump, Brian and Cole, I felt like they'd work together early, maybe even earlier than they have. But I felt like that was the direction they were going to head in. And you'd have to believe they're going to be in the latter stages, if not the finals of that tournament. I think CM Punk will have other stories before he gets on the World Title Odyssey. you know, I saw people being critical. I tweeted the other day that I actually quite like how he started off his AEW career. And some people are critical of it, saying, oh, you know, he needs to get out of this. I'm happy to be here, kind of. But, you know, I think the romance in his return is fine. And we've got lots of time for him to get stuck into the stories and, you know, find his edge and all of that great stuff. So I'm not worried about where that's going. I'm enjoying just the diversity. I don't mean that like ethically, but ethnically, Jesus, on the card. I mean, in general, like there's just a wide spread of talent in different areas. You don't have to jam pack them all into the main event world title scene. They're finding places for everyone. It makes the show more interesting, in my opinion. What other news did we have to touch on? SP3. I believe that you said from the Tony Khan interview there was talk of a streaming deal. Do we have any kind of information to pass along on that one?
Well, we do know now that there is conversations that are ongoing. What Tony Khan said in his interview with the Wrestling Podcast is that he has spoken to, yes, wrestling with the Wrestling Podcast. He said that he has had talks with Warner Media about a streaming service. And he says that there's a lot and they're building up their library. You know, we've gone on 104 episodes of AEW Dynamite. They're building up the AEW Rampage, catalog as well. He also talked big about the house show that they did in Jacksonville earlier this year, and he says that that's never been seen by the widespread audience. So he's been like waiting on that and waiting on the ongoing talks with the streaming deal to kind of put that out in the public. So there's a lot that is on the cuffs, and you know, there's major announcement to be had. You know, we got the major announcement on the second anniversary of the TBS championship. There's already been talks of a trios title. There's been talks of an international tour in 2022. So some big things are on the cusp, but he said like the streaming deal is still ongoing, but we didn't get like a definitive answer as of yet.
I mean, just a few years into the company's birth, it's insane that they're even at this juncture, but shows you the rapid growth they are making without a shadow of a doubt. It's worth noting that I did speak to Chris Jericho today. There were quite a few interesting tidbits, which you know I will be dropping in article form in the next few days, and I might even tweet out some of the interesting lines that he talked about. One of them, just spitting stuff off the top of my head before I get into my main point. He wants to do an Omega Jericho tag team in New Japan. Ooh. And he wants to do it against Tanahashi and Okada. He believes that could main event the Tokyo Dome. He said that's something he wants to get round to. He also wants to face the likes of Will Ospreay. He wants to, Ibushi. He wants to get out to Japan again. He feels like, although AEW is his focus, he says he does still harbour that ambition. In terms of retirement, he's not thinking about it at all. But, I did say, you either end up with a Baron Corbin situation and Kurt Angle, or maybe you go out like The Rock was, Stone Cold's last opponent, or Michaels was Ric Flair's. And he was like, I really don't give a shit about the last opponent. And to quote him, he said, it could just be Marco Stunt. And then I'll just go, you know what, I'm done. So he doesn't anticipate a big like retirement tour, but he says, unless a story dictated it, unless it kind of fell into the few that he was in, which I personally think it would. I think he's too big of a star to ignore, but I understand where he's coming from. He said about AEW coming to the UK. He said he doesn't know for sure, but Fozzy are here in December. And he says, I think they've got like 14 dates, something like that. And he goes, they're nearly all sellouts. Like it's sold the best they ever done over here. And he's like, it's a good indication of what it looks like when we're going to come back. He does believe, he really stressed this to me. He was like, I don't want any clickbait headlines. I was like, hey, man. And he was like, I guess it would be next summer. He has heard about Craven Cottage being Tony's favorite destination to hold that. It's ready made. So he does believe that next summer, 2022, is likely to be AEW's foray into the UK, and he thinks it probably will be Fyter Fest as well. So that's interesting. Obviously he's in those discussions, but he was like, it's above my pay grade to actually know and decide those things. But from what he's heard and what previous plans were. Here's a good, interesting one. So I couldn't like outright ask him about Kevin Owens right? Couldn't do that. He's under contract, and AEW get funny about that sort of stuff. Yeah. So, but what I did want to know is, I've always been intrigued. I don't know if anyone was aware of this. Like, why was Vince McMahon so unhappy with the WrestleMania 33 match with Kevin Owens?
That is a good question.
Do we know? Like, I said to Chris Jericho, like, I know we've all seen the documentary. I know that we've all seen where Vince was like, that wasn't for me. And I was like, but we don't really know why. No one's ever explained what Vince didn't like about that match. So I straight up asked him. I was like, hey, man, like, what kind of feedback did you get? And Jericho said when he came back through the curtain, Vince gave him the thumbs up.
I feel like I always felt, you know, I never really asked the question of what did Vince not like about it, because I felt like that was a Jedi Vince trick. This is stuff that he does with certain guys. And I feel like he has gotten to the point where he feels like Kevin Owens is the type of guy that needs like that. He shuns him or like puts him down because he knows it's going to elevate him and knows it's going to motivate him to like do more. That's what I think it is.
It's interesting that you say that. Cause Jericho went on to say, he said Vince like it's a British term. He had like a bee in his bonnet about Kevin Owens at the time. He was on him a lot. Jericho says like, and he said a lot of it was he had a problem with Kevin Owens' weight. When I release the full comments, you'll understand. But he said Vince was on at him a lot, and I don't think he could really understand. You know, like there's some guys that are just great like that, like Vader, right? Bam Bam Bigelow. Like Kevin Owens is in that mold, right? Like a great kind of big guy, not the usual body type, but amazing at what he does. Like if Kevin Owens turned up tomorrow and had lost 4 stone, it'd be fucking weird, right? Like you'd be like, I don't know, it would kind of take away or detract from what makes him special in a perverse way.
He has like every man's look where like, and especially with his promo styles, he's more of like an evolve or this generation Dusty Rhodes. He's not as big as Dusty was, but he's an everyman where you see yourself in him, especially with the prize fighter and the family man type of gimmick that he came into NXT with. I kind of get that from him.
Yeah, so you know, Jericho was just saying he feels like Vince was needling Kevin Owens. He was trying to, you know, push and prod him to be what he wanted to be. Which, I mean, who are we to say? It's Vince's company and the way he runs things. But I mean, first of all, I think it's wrong to try and change Kevin Owens. And you know, like you said, the Jedi Vince tricks. I guess you know he's trying to get after what he wanted, but to do that after they'd already taken away the hottest story from the promised main event slot is something. So I don't know. Anyway, that's a bit of information on that, but there's so much more, you know, talking about the stiff knee from Jorge Masvidal. He's got Junior Dos Santos this weekend. You know, again, he was talking a lot about what he's done for the four pillars of AEW, you know, in the MJF feud and I called it Trials of Jericho in an interview, and he was like, hey, the labors. I was like, oh, shit. Chris Hero was considered. Did you know that?
I heard someone say that. I think it was Jericho in a previous interview where he talked about Chris Hero possibly being there. I don't know how they would have made sense of that, but that would have been very, very interesting.
He said that the Wardlow was always the last. That was always to be the way. Nick Gage was MJF's idea.
Wow. I would have thought it was Jericho's.
So would I. He had never heard of him until he did the Vice documentary.
Yeah.
Dark Side of the Ring. And he said after that, it was MJF who said we should do that because it'd be a great kind of break from the feud, like a different step that people won't predict. And damn, was he right. I didn't predict that shit.
No.
And then he said the Juventud Guerrera, I think it was a Tony Khan idea. Of a throwback. But what he did want to pour cold water on is a lot of people thought that Lance Storm might be next or whatever. Yeah. But Jericho said if Lance Storm was able, he probably would have had the Juventud Guerrera spot. Like, there wasn't going to be multiple nostalgia. He said it was going to be one like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's so interesting, though, to hear the, you know, if you're into all this kind of stuff like SV3 and I am, you'll love this interview. There's a lot of him talking about the process and the thoughts going behind a lot of the stories that they've done. So, man, there's a lot to think on there, guys. But with that, pretty much at the end of the show, which is staggering. But alas, I shan't bemoan it anymore. What I do want to talk about as we finish here for the final few minutes, because I know we haven't got to yet, is Bryan Danielson, Minoru Suzuki, Rampage buy-in. Jesus, this Friday. So for those keeping up, Raw. SmackDown decided to extend their show by half
SmackDown
an hour.
SmackDown supersized.
Supersized. Of course, has nothing to do with AEW running after them. And they've obviously got Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, I want to say, facing off this Friday.
Commercial free, last half hour.
Commercial free, right? Which obviously runs into the hour of Rampage. I want to say Jericho and Junior Dos Santos is on Rampage.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Junior Dos Santos.
And Lee Moriarty?
Lee Moriarty and Bobby Fish is on the buy-in. It's Junior Dos Santos and Men of the Year versus Jericho, Sammy, and Jake Hager.
Incredible stuff. So, of course, we've got that this Friday. Anyway, from there, because SmackDown countered Rampage, Tony Khan decided, well, we're going to do a pre-show to Rampage on YouTube, nonetheless, and it's going to be Bryan goddamn Danielson versus Minoru Suzuki. Let me just say this before I let SP3 run wild. I cannot understand wrestling fans, right? Like, in some of them anyway. On Twitter yesterday, people were going, oh, but, you know, why wouldn't you pop a rating? Or, oh, you know, given they're burning through all their matches. Like, far too many people have read too much about wrestling. And they're like, oh, you know, making excuses as to why getting to watch Suzuki and Danielson for free on YouTube, where it will live forever, is a bad thing. Please, please don't overthink it, guys. It's going to be great.
I said this on Monday, and once again, I got to say it again. Tony Khan putting his manhood right on the table, right on the table, and he's saying, Vince, take this. He's been talking. He's been talking.
That's what he did.
So much trash on all these interviews talking about how Raw sucked this week to Robbie Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about how he has the better show. It's like basically the whole Impact vignettes that they were doing all those months with AEW putting down Impact and you know, bigging up AEW. He has brought it to the main roster. He's brought it to Raw. He's brought it to SmackDown. And he's like, I'm just gonna try to beat y'all out the water. I'm gonna give a dream match for free on YouTube. And I totally agree with you. I saw some troll accounts who said that, oh, the debuts of Brian Cole and Malakai Black were so great, but now they're less over than what they were before.
And the Suzuki, the disparaging of Suzuki, people. I saw someone say he's like Goldberg. I'm not even going to touch that.
But
some people like, I haven't seen anything of, you know, to get excited about from Suzuki and AEW. Like, I'm not even the biggest New Japan mark, but come the fuck on. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, don't go out of your way just to poo-poo things, right? Like, I see all these people using all these different wrestling lingo to explain why this match is just not a good idea. And I just think, man, like, have you forgotten why you like wrestling? I don't know. Again,
I've seen people, don't overthink it. I've seen people say, like, accuse Minoru Suzuki of being Nia Jax, saying that he's going to hurt and injure Bryan Danielson. Like, it's ridiculous.
I mean, he might.
He's the murder grandpa for a reason. This is the one guy in New Japan that my wife looked at and she was like, I just don't like him. He hasn't done anything, but just the way he looks, she didn't like him. And then I showed her the picture of me and Suzuki, me holding the Intercontinental Championship when he was IWGP Intercontinental Champion. He's got a big smile on his face. She's like, that's the same guy? I was like, yes. He's actually a delightful fellow when you meet him. I actually told him to choke me when I choked me for the picture, and I was like, fake choke me for the picture. He was like, I don't fake, and then that's why we laughed in my picture.
yeah. And you were like, I'm not even gonna push it. Sure,
exactly. Yeah. I was fine with it.
What we got is a last minute ultra chat here from the Zornis, which we will finish on. What will you watch this Friday, if any, dear Brits? Suzuki Danielson. To be honest, I'll probably channel hop, right? I'll watch Suzuki Danielson and I'll probably watch Becky and Sasha.
I'll probably put Suzuki and Danielson on the TV SmackDown on the laptop. I actually do a review show following SmackDown and Rampage, so I have to watch both. But I'm more interested in Suzuki and Danielson.
Yeah,
only for the main reason is that I have been conditioned to know WWE very well and know that we're not going to get a clean finish to Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch on network television. I'm going to watch both. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, they don't clash, do they, right? Because Danielson and Suzuki will be during SmackDown, like the original run, whereas the overrun will be on what Rampage would be. So you can watch both, but I will be turning away from SmackDown to watch Danielson and Suzuki, without a doubt.
Absolutely. That's one of my main Danielson in New Japan dream matches. It's going to be tremendous. Go out of your way if you haven't already. Watch Minoru Suzuki versus Joey Janela from GCW Aftermath this past weekend. If you want a taste, if you are unaware of what Suzuki can do, that's what's a little bit of Suzuki in America. It was a great match there. And also go out of your way to watch that whole GCW Fight Club show. That was just tremendous stuff. And I can't wait for GCW in Hammerstein Ballroom. I didn't get to say it on Monday. I am going to try my best to be there January 23rd. That video package was one of the best things that I've seen in wrestling this entire year, where they hyped it up and they talked about all the things fans or naysayers have said about the GCW or said about certain competitors there. The Matt Cardona was amazing. Matt Cardona saying exactly the line WWE told him, saying that you have all the tools, but you're just not a top player. We wish you the best of luck on your future endeavors. Just powerful stuff. Go out of your way to watch that as well if you didn't see that.
Also, I saw Vikingo doing some crazy stuff this past week, and I started doing a deep dive on YouTube because that guy is a lunatic. He is insanely talented. Just wanted to throw that out there. I had honestly never heard of him until a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what that says about me, but I hadn't. I'm very much in the work-focused bubble, but Jesus, that guy
That's the guy Kenny Omega said he wants to verse the most for the AAA Mega Championship. I got to watch that match. I heard a lot of good things. Vikingo and Laredo Kid versus the Lucha Bros. Lucha Bros, wherever they go, they just have banger after banger.
Hey, absolutely. The Zornis has a finishing one on this Ultra Texas. I think Tony's move is brilliant, but even better is TK's thought that everybody should be able to watch everything. I think I don't even use the term real wrestling fan, but eventually, whether you want to come around to AEW or not, I think you will appreciate that the fan, you know, we had that ridiculous McMahon promo a few years ago of the, you know, we're going to start doing things for you. You know, they still do whatever the fuck they want to do. But I do feel like Tony Khan, being a real kind of more present day fan, understands what people want to see. That's my take on it. Anyway, thank you so much, guys, for joining us once again here on Wrestling Daily. We went long. We always do. How can we just go 20 minutes? It's impossible. But thank you so much for joining. Steph Chase will be back tomorrow. Andrew Thompson is in the house on Friday, continuing our Black History Month streak of a tremendous, tremendous co-host. We've got more on the way from that too, so stay tuned. SB3, where can I catch you this week, man?
You can catch me over on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel Friday, Dark Side of the Ring review. This one's on Luna Vachon, so stay tuned for that. And then Saturday, we got our second fantasy wrestling draft on True Hill Heat, where we'll be facing the NWA podcast on post wrestling. So check that out.
And let me tell you something. I'm a patron to True Hill Heat. I am. I am a patron. Guys, do it. Join the gang. I love the content from the guys. So make sure you be a good egg and join us. And join us next time here on Wrestling Daily. Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.